Kyle Kalia Yang is the Hmong American writer of several award-winning books, including The Late Homecomer and The Rock in My Throat. Her newest book is a lovely picture book telling the story of her aunt and uncle's blue house, Kalia's first memory of a home. It's called The Blue House I Loved. We begin our What We're Reading interview with Kalia talking about her first memory of wanting to be a writer.
So I have a memory, Tammy, of being in seventh grade. Mom and dad have overdrafted on her bank account again. She has these horrible migraines. And she's running through the house trying to find quarters and dimes. They'd always overdraft by pennies because they both worked as assemblers. And then my dad would get the gas or something and a check would have been processed. And I remember going to my room as a seventh grader and just feeling absolute despair. And I wrote in my journal, I said, how does a writer become? And I pressed so hard that I broke through the page. And on the bottom of the second page, I wrote in very tiny letters, I said, she keeps on writing, period. That is my first conscious thought and expression of a life in writing. But I didn't communicate that, and I didn't see it as real until senior year of college when my grandmother died. It was our dream that she would be there with me. But grandma died my senior year. Just a few months before my graduation, I became a writer because I wanted to spend more time with her on the page. I became a writer because my grandmother was afraid that the world would not remember her. She could not read or write. She had never been to school. All of my life with her, she signed her name with a shaky X that stood in virtually. And so there are two moments, right? That seventh grade girl who in this moment of despair says, how does a writer become? And then another version of me, 22 years old, thinking that if I write my grandmother's story, then maybe the world will remember her along with me. And then, of course, the rest becomes a journey of how to do these things. I went to Columbia University for an MFA. I didn't know many writers. And from there, by the age of 27, The Late Homecomer had come out, and I had become a published author. I'm now 45, so I've been at this for a while.
Those are wonderful, strong moments. Thank you for sharing that. I do want to get into the new book. We're going to talk about that, but I have to first congratulate you on the very big year you had last year in regards to the Minnesota Book Awards. You won in three categories, and that was a historic event. So I would love if you could share what you were thinking when those awards were announced.
Yes, I do remember, and I remember because up to the Minnesota Book Awards, you have all these panels with the other finalists and you get to know them and where their books are positioned and what their hopes and dreams are. I remember saying to my husband, it doesn't matter how this evening goes. Like, these are wonderful people that I'm in the, you know, in the finalist categories with across the board, and everybody deserves a win. I remember going to dinner because two of my editors had taken out my whole family to dinner before the book awards. They wanted to make it special, and I felt the specialness in the air. And I thought, I'm just going to remember this. Looking down at this long table, my mom and dad are sitting uncomfortable. My siblings are there. My editors are there. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to hold this close. Truthfully, the only book, if I had to choose one, because I thought it was too greedy to choose two or three, that more than anything I wanted to win was when, you know, Where Rivers Part, because that was my mother's story, because my father's story, The Song Poet, had won, The Late Homecomer, my grandmother's story, had won. And so I thought, please let this happen for this book as well. But I was there and they call my name for The Rock in My Throat, the story that I carried for so long. And it was just unbelievable that I was there and we were in this moment. And I could feel that rock still right there in my throat, because the truth is a rock doesn't just disappear. You know, there are moments in our lives and we're strong enough to push through. And I'm in one of those moments. But if life has taught me anything, it is that nothing can be taken for granted. And so there I was, and it was a story of my truth and the truth of so many others. And so I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm living in a dream. When the second and the third time my names were announced, I was convinced that I was dreaming, Tammy. I was convinced. And somebody said, how are you going to take these back? Because they're pretty heavy. And I answered, there are so many hands here. I brought many hands to help. And I think that is the story of the evening. Like, whether I won or not, it was going to be special. Two of my editors had decided it was going to be special. My family, long before that moment, had decided that this life journey was going to be special. And it was just such a joyful experience to share that with book lovers across the state and to say that our stories, that they truly matter and that their beauty shines beyond our homes. That was important.
This is what we're reading on KAXE KBXE, and we're hearing about a new children's book from Minnesota writer Kao Kalia Yang.
Now you have another beautiful book, a beautiful story that you're telling with this book. It is called The Blue House I Loved. It is a new children's picture book. What would you like to tell us about it?
The blue house I loved. So I live only a mile away from where the blue house once stood. And my aunt and uncle used to live in that house. It was my first memory of a home in America, really. We lived in the housing projects. They lived in the blue house. We didn't get to go very many places. Like so many new immigrants and refugees, we saw the world from our windows and from the flashing screen of our televisions. And so the trip that we would take most frequently was to the blue house. And there, my cousins and I could play there. We could see our parents talk and work and worry, but also just a lot of love around us. And then the house got torn down. My aunt and uncle moved away. The house got torn down. And even now, it's there as like this empty piece of grass. And every time we pass it, and we pass it almost every day, I tell my kids, "That's the blue house that I loved. That's the blue house that I loved." And the ghost that is so alive, the ghost of that house that I can still see standing there, I could see was not the same for my children. And so I've wanted to write this book to commemorate the place of memories. I think particularly important because we live in a time when so many powerful forces want us to forget, Tammy. They want us to forget who we are. They want us to forget the people who make us possible. They want to make us forget the histories that we know to be true. And so this book is about remembering, it's about celebrating memory and how it can bring us close again, how it can make us better for each other and for our world. And then I think for every single person, no matter how young or old, nostalgia is a really beautiful, it's a very beautiful heartbreak that we all carry. There aren't a lot of books in children's literature that contend with it. So as a memoirist, I felt in some sense it was my job.
A theme that I think really shines in this book is you talk about how the house was very crowded. There was only two bedrooms, and your aunt and uncle, they had several children. It was crowded. They also had some used furniture. Milk crates were being used in some instances for bed frames. But despite that, there was a lot of joy in this house. You did a lot of growing up, just mentioned. You got to know your cousins, and I think there's kind of a feeling today where a lot of people don't know their cousins like they used to. So that was nice, to kind of reflect on that. But despite the condition of the house and the size of it, there was still a lot of love and a lot of learning that came through. I think that was something that really shines in this book.
Oh, so much. Even as you talk about memories, I can still taste the sweetness of the sugar that we put into our rice and water. My cousins and me, each of us balancing a little bowl on our knees, rice and water and sugar, like that taste. It brings me back, and it reminds me again of the sweetness that was there in our lives, that continues to be there. Aunt and uncle are now old, but that continues to be there. Because of all of those things that we shared in that house, Richard Marx, I mean, I don't think Richard Marx knows this, Tammy, but for so many refugees of the 80s and 90s, he was our introduction to like American music.
When I saw that in the book, that you specifically mentioned Richard Marx, I did
Yes.
laugh out loud because I'm like, that is a voice of an era, of my
Yes.
era too. So I'm like, oh, I know exactly what she's talking about right now.
Exactly. So all my. The bigger cousins, the cooler cousins, it was Richard Marx. And then it was, oh, the heat of the summers, Tammy, in Minnesota, when my mom and my aunt are in that crowded kitchen canning away and parboiling beans, I could still feel the stickiness, on my throat. And it was a beautiful stickiness because it recalled Thailand, the refugee camps where I was born, the place we left behind. It was a special bridge period, I think, between the life we left behind and the life that we would live. And we were in it together. So it didn't feel scary. It just felt full. And I wanted that to come through.
Great. So I'm getting the sense, looking at each of the picture books that you have written, it seems like there's a different illustrator with each book. And I'm wondering if that is intentional, like you are wanting to seek out new people to give them a chance to, work with you and to create. The illustrator for this book, The Blue House I Loved, is Jen Shin. So what can you tell us about working with Jen Shin and how you go about, picking illustrators for your books?
So I publish across presses, from the independent publishers to the university presses to the Big Five. And each has their own protocol, their own process. Across the board, we can see that there's a lot of Asian Americans and Asians that I'm working with, particularly female Asians. And that isn't by coincidence. As an Asian American creator, I know the talent that lives in our community. And I know that often it's a matter of opportunity. With the first-time illustrators like Jen Shin, like Billy Tao, like C. Ryder, or Ku Vu, I was very conscious of the work that I could do. I've been at this for a long time. 22 years old when I started on the journey, 27 when my first book came out. I'm now 45. I can open some doors now. I'm cognizant of that. And there are certain publishers that are more willing to entertain my activist heart than others. And the University of Minnesota Press is one of those. Each of the illustrators that I've worked with them on has been a first-time illustrator. Jen Shin, I met, we're both Soros fellows, and we met at a Soros conference years ago. She's an architect. Jen is younger than I am. We're sitting together at dinner, and Jen tells me that one of her dreams is to become an illustrator. And I'm listening and learning, and in my head, I'm thinking, I have this manuscript that I've just sold, and it's about a book. I want an architect to illustrate this book. And so when I came back, I immediately wrote my editor, Eric Anderson, at the University of Minnesota Press. I told him that I sat beside this incredibly talented Yale-trained architect and that she wants to be a children's book illustrator, and I think I have the perfect title. Eric is very generous. And so he listened, and then he thought about it, and we made it happen. He coached Jen through all of the stumbling blocks of a first-time illustrator. And voila, this book is in the world. And I love that it's so precise, because when you're working with somebody who's really well-trained on their craft, who takes a lot of pride in their work, it shows. And on each and every single spread, I can see the eye of the architect and the eye of the artist meeting and this world unfurling. And that was beautiful.
Cao Kalia Yang's new book is The Blue House I Loved. It's what we're reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.